Hey everybody, this is the Longhorn Confidential for March 18th. I'm Danny Davis, the Austin American Statesman. We're back, and as always, I'm joined by Kirk Bull, Cedric Golden, Thomas Jones. We have some brackets we gotta go fill out, so we're gonna make this quick, get right to business. It is March Madness time. Let's talk about the men, let's talk about the women. I say we save the champs for last. We're gonna start with the men's first. Men's basketball
Wow.
team. They are the number 7 seed in the NCAA tournament. They will get underway on Thursday. We still don't know who they're going to play yet. They play either Colorado State or Virginia, who had to play in a play-in game to kind of figure out who plays the Longhorns in Charlotte. If Texas wins that game, probably Rick Barnes is going to be waiting for them in the second round, but that's down the road. Let's talk about it right now. We're going to talk about the number 7 seed. Thomas, we will start with you since you are the beat reporter on this beat. That number 7 seed, is it too high, too low, or just right for the Longhorns?
Oh, I thought it was a little well, I guess high being 7 is good. Being a 7 seed and 7, 8 or 9, I think came as a little surprise to Texas. I think it testifies to how good the Big 12 is. And I think, considering the criticism that I thought Rodney Terry got for a lot of the season, I mean, the Horns went 9-9 in the toughest conference in the nation. And that will get you a 7 seed apparently. So I think they're happy with that 7 seed. I think they're happy to avoid the number 1 in the second round if they get past a pretty tough number 10 seed, regardless of who they play.
Said, what was your thought on the Longhorn seeding?
Right on time. I like where they are. It's definitely, like TJ said, it's definitely a nod to how great the Big 12 was, even though the Oklahoma Sooners are at the house wondering what the hell happened, not
Yeah.
getting to the tournament. But because I talked to Scott Drew a couple weeks ago, the Baylor coach, and he's, oh yeah, we're gonna get 10 or 11 in. So I didn't believe that when he said it, but I really thought that OU would get in. But I think Texas was uneven during the regular season. They let some games get away from them that they should have won. But at the end of the day, they're a 500 team in the Big 12. That's a pretty good accomplishment. Too bad that they didn't win more in a season that Kansas is not Kansas, but I think Rodney Terry will take it at this point.
And they're healthy. Like you see what health is doing to OU. Javier McCollum's out for OU, and that definitely impacted what happened to them on Selection Sunday, not getting in.
Kirk, what was your thought on that number 7 seed?
I think it was, 6-1, half dozen of another, because if you're going to keep winning, you're going to play a one or two, whether you're a 7 seed or in that 8-9 pairing. So, I didn't think it was that big a difference, but it was a tip of the hat and major props to the Big 12, as TJ was saying. And I think that had a lot to do with it, because, or maybe the selection committee just didn't watch them play Kansas State in the Big 12 tournament. They may have been watching the ACC or something, so because they looked horrible in that game, and they can't play like that. And which is weird, because they'd kind of been hitting their stride, and playing really well until that game.
They look great for a half.
They did. That's kind of been their story, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Usually
Now,
the first, yeah.
when y'all look at this Texas roster going forward, which Longhorn needs to step up, needs to have a good march for this team to be able to do what it needs to do over the next couple of weeks?
Well, I know what Seth's going to say, so I'm not going to talk about Tyrese Hunter. I want to see Dylan Mitchell. I want to see Dylan Mitchell be that pro prospect that he thinks he is and he should be. Early in the season, he was averaging close to double-double every game. He needs to get back to that 8, 10 rebounds a game, 10, 12 points a game. If it's a Dylan Mitchell we saw in the first half against K-State, when Texas dominated the boards and built that 10-point lead, I think they can make a run. I think they could surprise old Hickory in the second round.
Yeah, I got to go with Tyrese. I got to go with Tyrese. He's all of a sudden he has become the barometer, Thomas Jones. He's a
Yeah.
barometer now. He scores 33 and to steal a line from Kirk Bowles. He's Tyrese Hunter for president at Kirk's tweets. But then he follows up with an 0-7. after that, and they get beat. So when he plays well and those big dogs show up, Max and Dylan Dessou, the Texas Longhorns are a tough out. They just are. But when he doesn't play well, they're leaning on someone else like a Brock Cunningham or Kendall Weaver, somebody like that, that's not a frontline player. And that's when they get in trouble. That's when they get in big trouble. So yeah, he's definitely my guy. If he can score 12 to 13 points a game and limit those turnovers, the Texas Longhorns will be in every game they play in this tournament.
Because he'll play defense.
Oh
He'll
yeah.
deliver on that end.
Well, he'll get steals, but he gets blown by too much. He's always peeking into the backfield like a 34-year-old cornerback. Don't want to do that.
Kirk,
No more Pac-Man.
who's your pick?
Gotta be Hunter. Gotta be Hunter. He's mercurial. He's up, he's down. Y'all were at the Baylor game. He hit two threes right off the bat and what'd he end up with? 7 points, 6 points,
He ended up with
something.
12. He had 12, but that's
Yeah. And he
six
just
more points in the next 58 minutes.
Yeah. But thing is, I'd like to say Mitchell and agree with TJ, but if you're expecting if anybody's expecting Dylan Mitchell to get 20-10 numbers, 20 points and 10 rebounds, ain't gonna happen.
About
But
10 and 10.
well, 10-10 would be nice. But it's got to be Hunter. They haven't had that third reliable offense, and now's the time to shine. He got a bad report from the NBA combine last year. So hey, you want to prove some people wrong? March is when the lights are brightest.
He might get a return to sender if he sends a letter in this year.
All right, so this Texas team had a great run in the tournament last year. Elite Eight was knocking on the door of returning to the Final Four for the first time in a long time. But what would a successful March look for this Texas team that may not have the exact, like people may not be looking at them the exact same way this year? So what would a good March look like for this Texas team? Kirk, we'll start with you.
A Sweet 16 would be excellent because it would probably be mean beating number two seed Tennessee. So I think expectations are so low. Everything is just kind of gravy. It's like there are probably a lot of Longhorn fans thinking they won't win one game, and they also have the disadvantage, Colorado State and Virginia. They don't know who to plan for. Both those are pretty decent teams with a pretty good net rating rankings. So yeah, Rodney really desperately needs to win a game just because, people have kind of fallen off his bandwagon after the Elite Eight run last year. And it just hasn't been a consistent, cohesive bunch. And, they won five in a row at one point, four in a row in the other time. And the rest of the year, it's like up and down, win one, lose two, win two, lose one. So, yeah, if they could get to the Sweet 16, I think Rodney would be doing a cartwheel.
Said
He was giddy
he
on
was
Friday. Man, he was so
he was
he's like
feeling.
a kid. He's like a kid because he's my age. He's like a kid in a candy store. I agree with Doug. They win two games, Daniel, and Rodney's feeling really good about next season because it's been kind of disjointed this year. They figured some things out at the end, but you don't want to be figuring it out at the end. You want to be figuring it out in the middle and then getting ready for that big run. So to beat UVA or Colorado State and then to take out Old Hickory in the second round, his mentor would be a feather in his cap, and it will calm some of the whispers around the program. The thing I don't like about Texas fans is they don't really care about basketball. They just don't want to be embarrassed. And I don't know if the passion is there, but I do know that when a coach goes one and done, that's when they start chirping a little bit. We can ask Shaka about that.
Well, Shaka went 6 years without a tournament win. So
Yeah.
I think, man, maybe I'm in the minority, but based on some of the chatter, based on some of the things that are written by a certain columnist, I think Texas had a pretty good year. I think 500 with what this team lost was a pretty good year in the Big 12. I think they win one game. I think it's a good year. I don't think he needs to get to the Sweet 16. Remember, I mean, Texas went 7 years without winning a single tournament game. So you win the opener Thursday, you lose to Tennessee on Saturday. There's no shame in that. I think you get to the second round. I think you can look back on this year and say, you know what? We remain competitive. You look at Miami that beat Texas last year, got to the Final Four. They're not in the tournament. K-State, what, Elite Eight last year? They're not in the tournament. To get to the tournament itself is an accomplishment. I think give RT a little credit for that. You win one game, I think he's happy.
At some point, I think it's Wednesday. You guys can correct me. Kirk and Seth will have their Final Four picks in the newspaper. Actually, have their entire brackets filled out and some words opining
Tuesday, Tuesday,
Tuesday,
Daniel.
opining what their predictions are. So we're not gonna make them pick. We're gonna make y'all pick up an actual newspaper for their picks. But TJ, what is your Final Four prediction for the men?
Okay, I do like the Big 12. I think Iowa State gets to the Final Four over UConn in the East. I like Houston, but I don't think they make it because I think they some of these injuries are gonna take their toll, and if they get another bang up here, twisted ankle there, I think Wisconsin comes out of the South. In the West, I like Arizona over Carolina. And in the Midwest, I think Gonzaga is going to enjoy playing without the spotlight on him. I think Mark Few's team is under the radar, which has been a rarity the last 2 decades. I think they get to the Final Four.
That's sexy.
No
That's sexy,
chalk. I
Jay.
like it. I like it.
Threw that chalk out the
This
window.
is why
What chalk?
I never win brackets because of crap like this, baby. Never
Hey,
win.
last year, Final Four, he had a 9 seed and 2 fives. And what was UConn? A four? And they beat everybody by 20. So you got some history on your side, TJ.
I like that, TJ. I like that.
No. You like taking
Right.
my money.
So TJ did all the work with those Final Four predictions. We're going to let him sit out this next segment. We're going to talk about the women and their accomplishments this season. They will be a number one seed in their tournament. They will start play on Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. They get to host the first two rounds. Drexel will be their first round opponent if they win, which they will play either Alabama or Florida State in the second round on Sunday. So let's talk about the number one seed. First time Texas has gotten one of those since 2004. Were they overseeded, or was this an appropriate seeding for this Texas Longhorn team, which went 30-4 and won the Big 12 tournament championship? Kirk, we'll start with you.
Seated right where they were supposed to be seated. Vic had it right. I mean, they've been on fire. They won 12 out of their last 13 games and could have easily been 13 out of 13. We know about the bad call that cost them a regular season title chance. And, they shared it with Oklahoma last year and should have at least shared it, if not better, this year. So no, I think they were very deserving. They've played well. Now they've rewarded with that. We knew they were going to play at home. What are they, 15-2 at home, Danny? Something like that. And they do not want to repeat a Louisville. So, but this team is it's feeling itself. They're in a good spot. Madison Booker, boy, he can get her own shot anytime she wants. So I just really like where they're situated and their chances.
Said.
Yeah, it was cool. Daniel, we're waiting on Rodney Terry at the men's presser, and we're sitting with Chris Del Conte, and he's over there politicking for the Longhorns. He calls him Uncle Vic. He goes, "I think Uncle Vic deserves a number one seed." And I go, "What about Stanford, fam? What about Stanford?" He was like, "Yeah, Stanford." And it came to pass. I like that they're number one. I like that they're 30-4. I like that they're winning the Big 12 tournament. Vic has got his Dick Vermeil on already. The tears have been flowing, and they're emotional. They're fun to watch. They are a fun watch because of that big point guard, that big freshman who can do whatever she wants on a basketball court. I am actually more excited about the women than I am about the men, because the women just have this groove about them. And I like where they're seated. They got the momentum, and they're not going to get Van lit up at home. this week. They're going to come
Promise.
out of there. They
Promise.
better not. Not as a number one seed. That bar just got raised, Danny Davis. That bar got raised. They're not a number two. They're a number one. So number ones better hold serve at the house.
Yeah, I thought that number one seed was appropriate. I think I said on Twitter among my numerous tweets that I thought that they deserved that fourth number one. I think you could have argued that they deserved a one over Iowa as well. Just
You knew that wasn't happening.
when it boils down to it, their resume was just better than Stanford's. Texas did not have as good of a strength of schedule as Stanford did, and Stanford obviously won the Pac-12, but Stanford down the stretch was not as impressive as Texas was. Overall resume, that UConn win was doing a lot for Texas in the grand scheme of things. They had a better net rating, and also they won their conference tournament and beat three tournament teams in their conference tournament. And two of those games, the Kansas game and the Iowa State game, were not close. Kansas State was obviously very competitive, but Kansas State is a team that's going to be hosting a regional this weekend. So I think just down the stretch, Texas played better than Stanford. I think they deserve that number one seed, and I guess Stanford gets to actually have a chip on its shoulder for once, going into that tournament, because it does look like those two will definitely be on a collision course for each other in Portland in 2 weeks. But in order to get to Portland, a lot of Longhorns have to step up. Same question
Woo!
about the men: who is one Longhorn that has to step up in order for Texas to have a successful march? Seth, we'll start with you.
I'm a fan of that junkyard dog, Danny. You know I am. I love me some Deonna Gast. I love me some Deonna Gast. She goes in there and she does the dirty work. And I expect her minutes to go up because good things happen when she's in the game. She's the sixth person of the year in the Big 12. And I think they need her experience. They need her toughness. That takes so much pressure off of Liam Moore and Taylor. I just think that she's the one. If she can go in there and get them 8 to 10 rebounds, that's especially on the offensive end, that's where she comes alive. She's a good offensive rebounder. If she can get in there and get some putbacks on the offensive glass, that not only takes pressure off those big girls, but it also takes pressure off of those other two guards who I've been very candid about, Shea Holly and Shaylee Gonzalez. They're going to have to make some shots in this tournament if Texas is going to live up to that seeding. But to me, Deonna Gaston is the X factor on this team.
Kirk, who's your pick?
I'm going to go with Shaylee Gonzalez, because I really think we kind of know what Vic is going to get from the rest of the crowd, and especially, Madison Booker, obviously. I love that stat: three turnovers in 3 games of the Big 12 tournament. That just speaks volumes
Immaculate right now. She's
about
immaculate.
how good she plays under pressure with her hands on the ball so much. But, as Sed referenced this, we've kind of taken our hits on Vic on the lack of 3-point shooting. I mean, they're a team that can win with two or three threes a game, but if you want to get to the Final Four, you're going to need more than that. And so I think Shaylee's playing much better. I think she's a lot more confident. I love that she's improved her defense. When she had that steal and coast to coast layup in the Big 12 tournament, it's like, wow, maybe this is the light bulb moment. So now, I don't think Shaylee's going to go off for, 18 for the next 4 games to get them Final Four. But I think one of these games in the next four, if they're lucky enough to play in these four, they're going to need a game from Shaylee where she hits, three or four threes to kind of to help Amo and to Madison Booker.
Yeah, I don't think this is a close call. It's Shaylee for me. I think we know what we have with the other. We know what we have with Madison Booker. We know what we have with Shea Holly. We know what we have with Deonna and Aaliyah Moore. But Shaylee, we know this about Shaylee: she's playing 40 minutes on Friday. She's playing 40 minutes on Sunday. She's playing 40 minutes if they make it to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. She does not get off the floor. Her defense has improved a lot, and she's going to be asked to be, picking up some of these, high caliber tournament guards, and they're going to need her to knock down a couple shots. I don't think it's a coincidence that probably the two best games Texas has played, which was in the Big 12 tournament, outside past UConn when Rory was still playing. Shaylee had 10 points against Kansas State and 11 against Iowa State, and she was knocking down shots. driving the hoop. She's being aggressive. This is a 6-year player who knows that she doesn't get it next year. And you expect her to bring it. You expect her to, be playing well on both sides of the court. And she can knock down a couple shots and, much to Vic's dismay, hit a couple 3-pointers. I think this Texas team can go re really far because when she is on, this Texas team looks almost unbeatable. They if they can get All-American Shaylee playing out there, the sky's the limit for this Texas team. So she's definitely my pick there. Big picture, same question we asked about the men. What does a successful March look for this Texas women's team?
Hey, you're the number one seed. You don't have to ask that question. You got to get to Cleveland. You got to get to Kevin Lytle's hometown. That's our old colleague for this to be a successful year. Ones make it to the Final Four, especially in the women, where it's a little bit more chalky than the men. So I think it's Final Four for the Horns. You don't want, I mean, another Elite Eight, no one's gonna go, oh, man. They made it to the Elite Eight. That's nothing to sniff at. That's a big deal. Only eight teams make that. But you're the number one seed now. You gotta get there. Final Four. That's the goal. They have to make it to the Final Four. And that number one seed is basically a message. Hey, Texas, we think you're one of the four best teams. Now you got to prove
You know, they're not the number one seed. They're a number one seed. So I just
it.
think,
Well, yeah, you know what I meant. Stop it.
I know what you mean. I'm just thinking Elite Eight is a damn good year if they get there because they lost a decent player. What was her name? Let me, I wrote it down. Roy Harmon. Yeah, they lost Roy Harmon in
I wrote
December.
that down.
In December. And now they're still a number one seed, as you said. So, yeah. Final Four is the be all end all to get there, and Vic thinks they got a chance to win it. As Danny was saying, they're playing their best basketball, and but here's South Carolina, hadn't lost a game in 2 years, unbeaten again. So, it's a damn good tournament. It's some really fascinating teams and storylines. So I think if they can get to the Elite Eight, and obviously for Final Four would be gravy off of that, but anything less than Elite Eight, and it's going to be a hugely disappointing year for Vic Schaefer and those women. What do you say, Danny?
I think this is Final Four or bust. I think they're in a region that they can win.
Stand for the people in the back, Dan.
They've hit that Elite Eight twice in the last 3 years. They've done that. It's time to take that next step. Vic Schaefer wasn't hired to take them to the Elite Eight. He's hired to take them to the Final Four, which they have not been to since 2003. And obviously, yes, you are correct. If they make it to the Elite Eight, we'll be able to spin it and say this is the team that lost Roy Harmon in December, and that's an incredible coaching job, and all that will be true. But the expectations have changed. They're a number one seed. They're feeling themselves. They've won 12 of their last 13. They've won a Big 12 tournament championship. They believe they should have won a Big 12 regular season championship. It's time
And
to
they got Madison Booker.
it's time to set the bar with Madison Booker, take you to the Final Four, and then next year when you have a healthy Roy Harmon, when you have everyone except for Shaylee and Khadijah coming back, that's when you start talking about national championships. It's probably a little bit too much expecting to knock off South Carolina in that Final Four game, just because South Carolina is a damn machine right now. But
Well, Daniel.
they should get to Cleveland.
If they get there, it's anybody's ball game. South Carolina had to bank in a three to beat Tennessee.
True.
So it's anybody's ball game once you're there. And I like that freshman her. She's the best when the lights are the brightest. Once they get there, I mean, I'm thinking South Carolina. I mean, they win the championship, of course. But once they get there, man, it's anybody's ball game. Like Rodney Terry said on Sunday, it ain't the best team, it's who plays the best that day. And if they get rolling and this freshman keeps playing like this, then Katie bar the door. Katie bar the door. That's gonna be a fun tournament. I'm going to Cleveland. I'm going.
Well, I'll pack you my luggage. We'll make sure you get up there.
You're hating. You're hating. I'm glass half full today, Daniel Davis.
All right, all right. I'm glad
I
someone is.
can't even find a damn glass.
Let's go. My water bottles. Actually, my water bottle is more than full right now, so I don't know.
Take a
Let's go
swig.
quickly with, among the three of us. Final four picks. I'm gonna go. I do think Texas is gonna make it out of that Portland four region. South Carolina. That's an easy pick. And then I got LSU and UConn, 2-3 seeds in the Albany half. I just am not picking against Kim Mulkey and that LSU team. I just think they're too talented to be a three seed. And then I was tempted to pick the Fighting Celeste Taylors in Ohio State, but I think UConn, once again, like LSU, is just too talented, and they'll figure it out and get out of that other Albany region. So those are my final four. Kirk, who are you going with?
I'm going all chalk. I'm going with the four ones, but I got UConn winning it all. I think everybody's sleeping on
Do
Geno.
some research.
Well,
I think that
UConn's not a number one, so I don't know what you did pick all ones.
I'm sorry. I just think everybody's sleeping on Geno because nobody's talking about Paige Bueckers, or Geno. And everything is South Carolina, Iowa, and LSU. And I think it's fascinating that the women's bracket may be more exciting and tantalizing than the men because
Oh, it
people
is.
can't many of the men players, So
Women
I
have
think
star
you
power.
could and Paige Bueckers is back and healthy and they've had their share of injuries too, but they're still smarting from losing to Ohio State last year when they had like what 25 turnovers. So I'm gonna ride with UConn winning it all. But Texas getting to the Final Four.
UConn ain't winning.
Yeah.
UConn ain't winning it. They
You
don't have
said
a
it. You said anything can happen in the Final Four. You just said that.
I'll tell you what won't happen is UConn ain't winning. This is Maya Moore don't live here no more. Breonna Stewart don't live here no more.
So anything can
I
happen in the Final Four.
like Paige. I like Paige, and she's smooth. She might be the smoothest player in the country. She is silky smooth. She don't have enough help, fam. She ain't got enough help. I'm going with the Fighting Don Staleys. The Fighting Vic Schaefer. I'm so proud of these girls.
Risky pick.
The Fighting Caitlin Clarks of Iowa. You gotta have a big dog. She is Cheryl Swoops reborn. She's gonna go for 40 in one of those games. And then give me, oh my God, I've got the Fighting Geno Smiths. I mean, Geno Auriemma's in mine as well, Doug. I don't think they're gonna win it, but I think they're gonna get there. Did you see the look on Mulkey's face when she saw that three seed? Not happy, Doug. Not happy. I wanted to pick Mulkey, but I need to see her.
When is she happy?
I need to see her lose before the Final Four. I just need that for my spirit. So I couldn't
That's like
pick
a vendetta.
kind
All
of.
right, so that's gonna do it for us. That's kind of our March Madness preview. We're gonna have plenty of content in the newspaper on statesman.com throughout the week to get you ready for the men's tournament and the women's tournament. Men will get underway on Thursday at 5:50 p.m. in Charlotte against either Colorado State or Virginia. The women will be at the Moody Center at 2 p.m. on Friday to face Drexel. So this is the fun part of the year for us. It's a busy time. We got spring football, we got baseball, we got softball. Texas Relays is in a week or two, but it's March is all about the madness and the basketball tournament. So be sure to hang with us over the next couple of weeks as we see how many games these Longhorns can win, and maybe we'll be talking about a championship in a couple of weeks, but probably with the women, not with the men. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But yeah, that's appreciate y'all. Keep those horns down. We appreciate y'all tuning in
I'm down.
on Statesman
You got a
Madness.
good advantage. Never down.
Out of
Never
frame, not
down.
down, Dad. Y'all know what I meant. But yeah, Danny Davis with the Austin American Statesman. Kirk said, Thomas, we'll see y'all down the road. Thanks for joining us.